This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
It's the last session of Life in the Word, and we're going to be looking, as we have in all the previous weeks, at David as a character in the Scripture. And today we're going to be looking in the New Testament. And so looking at the character of David in the New Testament, we're going to also discover some things about how we interpret the New Testament, which is probably the part of the Bible we kind of have the most natural affinity to anyway. But particularly, we're going to see how the New Testament pulls together many of the themes of the Old Testament, and how the Old Testament and the New Testament are completely mutually dependent on one another. That actually you can't... You can't really understand the Bible without understanding how the New Testament and the Old Testament relate to one another. And there's a quote that's attributed to St. Augustine of Hippo, but then every quote can be attributed to him because he wrote so much and he often contradicted himself that you can get him to say just about anything. But allegedly, he said this: "The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed." Let me give you some notes. Here you go, guys. Okay, and so talking about the New and the Old Testament, he said the story of the New Testament, the story of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the fact that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's all in the Old Testament, but it's concealed in the Old Testament. And I guess that's what we've been looking at the previous weeks, is some of the ways in which the great revelation of Jesus is in the Old Testament, but is kind of hidden. It's kind of underneath the surface. And then he says the old is in the new revealed. So actually, to completely understand the Old Testament, or to really understand the Old Testament at all, you can't just read the Old Testament. You've got to read it in the light of Jesus. Because without Jesus, it doesn't really... it makes sense, but it doesn't tell the full story. And... the New Testament really is... my middle son asked me the other day, "Dad, why is the New Testament so much shorter than the Old Testament?" I thought, that's a pretty good question, really. Why is it so much shorter? And I think the answer to the question is because the New Testament is effectively a commentary on the Old Testament given in the light of Christ and in the light of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because... where the New Testament writers start, okay, the Gospels are telling the story of Jesus' earthly ministry, Book of Acts is telling the story of the early church, but where they start in terms of how they explain things, how they formulate doctrine and the theology that they build, is always from the Old Testament scriptures, because that was the Word of God as they had it. But it wasn't the Old Testament scriptures approached through the lens of kind of Jewish historical interpretation. It was radically... reinterpreted in the light of the fact that Christ had now come and that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. I'll give you a couple of examples of that. So John chapter 1, John says this about Jesus. He says, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world." And he's telling us that until Jesus came, actually it wasn't possible to see what was going on. But when Jesus comes into the world, not only does he enlighten people like John and Paul and Peter, but actually something is revealed about creation and about God's purpose in the coming of Christ. It was possible to see God at work, but that kind of essential puzzle-solving element that Jesus was, or the Word made flesh, was missing until Jesus came. And Jesus himself, it says further on in John 1, it says this about Jesus: "For all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And in the Greek language, the word for believe and the word for faith are just the verb and the noun of the same word. So what John is telling us is that even though Jesus came and revealed God, there was still this requirement of faith. And it was those that were prepared to put their faith and put their trust in Jesus that came not only into an understanding of the purposes of God and the Word of God, but actually came into a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 1 tells us that God has always spoken, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. There is a new quality of the way that God is speaking and has spoken now because he sent his Son. He is the Word made flesh. He's not just the Word spoken. He's the Word made flesh. He embodies everything about the Word of God. But the incarnation, the coming of Christ, was actually the first act in kind of like a two-part process that God had for bringing us into an understanding of his ways. And the second one is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is illustrated really neatly in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 1 is the story of what happens between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension and Pentecost. And then Acts 2 begins with Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit. And so just a few selected verses from Acts 1 and 2. In Acts 1 verse 3, it says this about Jesus. He presented himself to them, that's his disciples, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, he actually gave his disciples a 40-day Bible study on the kingdom of God. But at the end of that 40 days, they still ask him this question, Acts 1 verse 6. When they'd all come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And does anyone know what Jesus' answer to that is? Or a paraphrase of Jesus' answer? It's just before he says, well, it's not for you to know that the times that the Father has set, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so he's very gently saying, that's the wrong question, boys. He says it's not to do with times, and it's certainly not to do with a kingdom being restored to Israel in the way that the people of that time were anticipating the Messiah would do. And I think it's really interesting that I think if you or I had had a 40-day Bible study with Jesus about the kingdom of God, I think we'd be pretty gutted that the question we asked at the end, he says, well, you've kind of missed the point.
Yeah.
And yet they had. And these are the guys that then went on to write the New Testament, okay? So what happens to them that takes them from the place of being able to listen to Jesus for 40 days and still not understand into having this amazing revelation of the kingdom of God and the purposes of God? What happens? Well, of course, Pentecost happens. Acts 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the result of this is that Peter is able to stand up and he quotes from the prophet Joel. And he says a famous phrase that you have to go back to the King James Version to get. And he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I like the fact that he's kind of, if it was 9 o'clock in the evening, maybe they'd be drunk, but it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, no, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So suddenly now, the Spirit comes, and Peter has an understanding of how the present activity of the Holy Spirit in the world is related to the words of the prophets spoken hundreds of years before. And then suddenly this connection is made. And of course, that's because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that has given him and the other New Testament writers. You know, you find this illustration in the life of Paul. Before Paul comes to Christ, before Paul receives the Holy Spirit, he's convinced that these people that talk about Jesus are diametrically opposed to the will of God. He knew the scriptures. But when he has an encounter with Jesus and when he receives when he sees Jesus on the road to Damascus, yeah, when the true light that enlightens everyone enlightens him, and when he has hands laid upon him and he receives the Holy Spirit, suddenly all of the arguments that he could have brought against and all the scriptures he could have used to argue against those that were pursuing Jesus, he suddenly realizes actually they all speak about Jesus. And you know, there from there on his life's mission is to make that known. And so the New Testament writers use the Old Testament as their source material to explain the purpose of God and to explain what God is doing in the earth, what God intends, how God is now outworking his purpose through his church who preach his gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they can do this because they've been illuminated by the incarnation of Christ. They've had their eyes opened, and by their own experience of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's kind of a little bit of a backdrop. And we'll pass over to Chris now, who's going to take us into the book of Matthew.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.